Thank you. You may be seated. Actually, Tom, Sherry, and I both were Presbyterian members years ago. Yeah? Both came out of the old Presbyterian church. I thank Tom for inviting me to teach. It's always an awesome honor and responsibility to stand here with the truth of God's word. We're going to start in Psalm 119. I want to look a little bit about who God is and who we are. It's also Super Sunday, they call it today, isn't it? Is it that too? Must be why we have such a big crowd here today. It's like Easter and Christmas. We go for Groundhog Day and Super Bowl Sunday. They're all the same in the eyes of the Lord. Psalm 119, verse 18. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. The psalmist was praying that God would open his eyes, that he could behold wondrous things out of the law. This is the Old Testament. When we come to the Word of God, we should keep in mind that these are the words of God, God Almighty, and handle it thus. And when we open our Bibles to read and to study, remember it's the Word of God. These just aren't man's words. These are God's holy words. Imagine what the psalmist, how he would rejoice if he knew what we know today. If he could have read and seen the things that we have seen and heard and known from the truth of God's word, his mind would be blown. In Ephesians, we see something very related to this, only so much deeper, that where it talks about that the eyes of our heart to be enlightened, that we may know the hope of his calling and so forth. When we go to the Word of God, we always want to remember these are God's words and ask God to open his word to us. A little bit about what God is, I'd like to go to Romans 15. This is just a little bit. I just picked out some verses. Some of you probably have this sheet, and if you don't, maybe you could, this little study, if you never got this, I think it was when we did the family camp on knowing God, 2004 or something, way back when. But this little study that was put together called Names and Attributes of God. Names and Attributes of God. It's just page after page of some of the scriptures with which God gives himself names in the Word of God, or different characteristics of God. It's a wonderfully enlightening, enjoyable study. So if you don't have that, you might ask your fellowship leader if you could borrow his or hers. And if you do have it, you might like to look through that again sometime. There's some great, great, great verses here in Romans about our God. Romans 15, in verse 5. Now the God of patience and consolation or comfort grant you to be like-minded one toward another. According to what? Christ Jesus. He's the standard. I think of you, I'm to think of you as who you are in Christ Jesus and vice versa. He's the God of patience and the God of comfort. We need that at times in order to think this way about each other. In order to have the lowliness, the long-suffering, all the things that talks about in Ephesians 4. We have the God of patience. He's the God of it. He has tons of it. He never runs out of anything. He's God Almighty. And he's the God of comfort. Verse 6, that we may with one mind and one mouth glorify God. He's the one to be glorified. Even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I think it's beautiful to see verse 4, that well-known scripture, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. That patience and comfort you see all through the Word of God. And you see hope all the way through, all through the Word of God too. All pointing to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The God of patience. And did he have patience with us? Did he have patience setting up the plan and executing the plan of the birth of his son Jesus Christ, our Redeemer? And the God of comfort, who's always encouraging, always helping. That's our Father. Look in verse 13, same chapter. Here, he's the God of hope. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. He's also the God of hope. As we're going to see, well, we won't see it here, but if you went through this little study, the names and attributes of God, God Almighty is everything. There are different religions who have a God for the sun God, the moon God, the God of the harvest, the God of the water, rain God. No, God Almighty is everything. Remember in Exodus when Moses said, "Who shall I tell him sent me?" And God said, "Tell them, I am that I am." Literally, should be translated, "I will become what I will become." Doesn't mean that he was a shapeshifter and he was going to change to accommodate Moses. He already was everything. He's God Almighty. You know, they say, I got to admit, I watch some of these sci-fi movies. But those guys, those superheroes and their gods have one thing, like the guy with the hammer, the guy with the shield. Yeah, God Almighty is everything. That's our God. That's our God. And here he's the God of hope, fill you with joy and peace and believing. He's the one that's filling us, that you may abound in hope. He's the one that abounds us. He's the one that works these wonderful things in us by way of his word and by way of his spirit. Verse 33. Now the God of peace be with you all. He is the God of peace. He's the inventor of all these things. He's the author of all these things. These are God things. Without God, these things wouldn't be. Of course, without God, nothing would be. Look at chapter 16, verse 20 again. The God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. That's our God. That's our Father. Go to 2 Corinthians. Some of you are familiar with these verses, but they just jump out. The beauty, the greatness, the majesty of God Almighty, our Father. Verse 3. Grace be unto you. I'm on 2 Corinthians. Sorry. A lot of pages in these ones with the big print. 2 Corinthians 1:3, blessed be God. Praise be to God. Even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Father of mercies could also be translated compassion. That's our Father. He's the Father of it. He's the inventor of it. And he's got plenty of it. Says in, he's plenteous in mercies, doesn't it, in Psalm 103? The Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Go to chapter 13, 2 Corinthians 13. I put these kind of in chronological order, make it a little easier to get to them. Because like Robert did, we're going to read all 85 verses. I was amazed they got through 85 verses in less than an hour. It's beautiful. Last week on, if you weren't here, in the beautiful teaching Robert did on the book of Ruth. 2 Corinthians 13, verse... That's not. 2 Corinthians, I've checked these, 13, 11. Anybody see it? The God of love and peace? Oh, I'm in chapter 12, that's why. Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. When you do that, it says the God of love and peace shall be with you. God is always there. But if people don't live and think according to his word, be of one mind, live in peace, they're not going to see the God of love and peace. He'll be there, but they're not going to see him. But he is the God of love and the God of peace. Look at 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 5. First Peter 5, we're going to verse 10. First Peter 5, 10, but the God of what? All grace, all grace. If there's any grace, it's because of God Almighty, our Father. He's the God of all of it, all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. After that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. He's the God of all grace. Remember, it says he adds more grace. I can't recall which verse it is, but he's got plenty of it. He's got mountains up. He's got a whole universe. And you know, he says no shortage of grace with God. No shortage of compassion, love, peace, all these things we see. Let's back up and go to Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 6, this great section here in Ephesians 4, and we're just going to read verse 6. There's one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. That's our Father. That's our God. He's above all. He's through us all. He's in us all. He's everywhere. And let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 8. 1 Corinthians 8. Remember, I think Corinth was about 50 miles from Athens. Remember what Paul found when he went to Athens? So I'm sure that some of that influence and some of the pagan influence was in Corinth also. But look at this beautiful verse setting here, talking about idols and knowledge puffeth up and so forth. But in this great verse in 1 Corinthians 8, verse 5, For there be that are called gods, whether in heaven or in earth, as there be gods, lowercase g, many, and lords, many. But to us, one God, the Father, of whom are all things. This is God Almighty, the Creator, the one who inhabits eternity. There's one God, of whom are all things, and we are in him. There's one Lord, Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we are by him. Without them, nothing. That's our God. That's his Son, Jesus Christ. Like to go to Romans chapter 3, look a little bit about us, where we were then before we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and where we are now. Romans 3 verse 9. Got it? Romans 3, 9, page 1735 in my Bible. If you got the big Bible, it's in page 1735. What then, verse 9, are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have proved before, both Jews and Gentiles, they're all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeks after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. This is the state of mankind. We all were born dead in trespasses and sins because of Adam's sin, and then we all latched onto this way of life. Maybe we didn't do all of them, but basically we were in there somewhere. Verse 19, now we know that what things soever the law saith, it says to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. When we finally became guilty before God, recognized that we were sinners and wanted out, what a great day that was. Verse 20, therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now, in Christ, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by the faith of Jesus Christ, or believing regarding Jesus Christ, is upon unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. Before we got born again, there's no difference. All of us dead in trespasses and sins. After we get born again, the righteousness of God. Again, no difference. We're all equal in the sight of God, one way or the other. Praise God, we're on the right side of things once because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. There's more great verses, but you can read them on your own. Ephesians chapter 2. I know some of you, this is like one of my favorite sections in the Word of God. Same for you, but I couldn't stay away from it today. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, again, begins with where we were, what we were. And you who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of the age of the world, this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. We were subjects of the prince of the power of the air. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom we all had our conversation or our way of life in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. By nature we are the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ, by grace you are saved, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we're his workmanship. God did it. God did it. Everything we have, God did. Anything of any importance, anything that's going to last for eternity. You know, this maybe has some great things in your life you're thankful for, you rejoice about, but these are the things. This is it. This is it. Next to the Word of God, the most things I'm thankful for in my life are my children. I wanted to have children who would love God, carry on the family business. Remember Jesus said he had to be about his Father's business? Well, that's our life. That's our life. We carry on God's business. No boasting. There is no boasting. We're all equal in the sight of God. We're all righteous in the sight of God. Verse 11, remember, you were Gentiles in the flesh. Verse 12, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. And then it goes on to say what we have in Christ. But remember, be thankful. Always be thankful for what God took us out of. We can't ever take that for granted. We were dead. We were sinners. We were nothing. And God totally saved us, made us righteous in Christ, all by what he did. By what he did. There is no boasting. That's a great study if you want to do a study. And sometimes the word boast is translated glory, where it talks about glorying in man. entirely different word than when it talks about the glory of God. Very, very enjoyable study to look at those words and compare them. Well, let's go to chapter 8 of Romans. Romans 8. A little bit about who we are, what God did for us and in us. Verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption, or the spirit of sonship. We're sons of God, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. We are His children. If children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. We're sons. We're children. Look at 1 John 3. I think Roger took us to this verse a couple weeks ago. It's one of the greats. 1 John chapter 3. Sometimes I just, you know, when I don't feel like a son of God, sometimes I just remind myself of this verse here. Verse 1 of chapter 3. Behold, look, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of. That word of implies ownership. God owns us. Praise God. It says He is ours and we are His. Christ is ours. We're Christ. We're God's. Everything. We're in their family. He's bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not because it knew Him not. Yeah, the world didn't know God. Not the trees and the pretty stuff, the flowers, you know, the systems of the world, the things that our adversary, the prince of the power of the air, the things that he controls, they don't know God. They don't like our family at all, him and his guys. They don't like God. They don't like Jesus. They don't like us. They hate us. So the world's not going to know us. They killed all the prophets when God would send them. They killed Jesus Christ. They don't know. They don't want to hear. Verse 2, beloved, right now we are the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. Chapter 4, another great well-known scripture. Verse 4, 1 John 4, 4, you are of God. We are His. Little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. They're of the world, therefore they speak of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He that knows God hears us. He that is not of God doesn't hear us. Verse 17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, in man's day, this day. Because as He is, so are we in this world. There's where it is. As Christ is, so are we. He is who we really are, is our identity. You know, you may be a doctor, but what you really are is a son of God, a brother of the Lord Jesus Christ. Warren Buffett, you know, one of those rich guys. He's nothing unless he believes on the Lord Jesus Christ. He's everything if he does believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He's got everything. I don't care if, it doesn't matter if, like I dig ditches my whole life. If I'm a son of God, I'm there. I've arrived because God put me there. Everything that's important is done. All these other things that people identify with, oh, I'm from so-and-so, or I went to so-and-so school. Never heard Jesus talking about things, did you? You know? You know, this is my football team, so when they win, I take a little bit of that, and I'm a little bigger person because of that. You know, none of that stuff. None of it. That's not who we are. That's not what we identify with. We identify with the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, our brother, who gave his life for us, who made us everything that we are, the good stuff. You know, the rest of the worldly stuff, huh? We're talking the good stuff, the righteousness of God, the redemption, the sanctification, the holiness, the power of God in us. All because of him. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1. Verse 2, grace and peace. Again, God of grace, the God of peace, be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the what? Divine nature. You know, we are born into this world with an earthy, sinful nature, dead in trespasses and sins. But now we can be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. We're spiritual beings. We're divine beings. We still are wrapped up in these bodies. You know, we still have the flesh to deal with. But we have a perfect spirit from God, making us his sons, making us holy, making us righteous, good enough to be in the family of God in his kingdom. We're partakers of the divine nature. We're not going to go. 2 Corinthians 5 talks, we're not going to go there. You know it. It says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. It's a new creation. It's something brand new. In each one of us, a new creation. And then a whole new creation is with the one body of Christ, the church. And then in Romans 12, 2, I don't know if we're not going to go there. We got to go there. How can we go there every week? It's amazing. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I was just going to refer to it, but we got to go there. It's you can't get around it. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, I beg you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy. Who made us holy? Acceptable. Who made us acceptable? Unto God, which is your reasonable or logical service. You are everything you are because God gave it to you. It's only logical that we would live unto him. And be not conformed to this world. Put off this world. And of course, all the teaching in Ephesians and some other places about putting on Christ, putting off the world. We don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing. We put on, we learn about who we are in Christ. What I am as a son of God, we put that on. The renewing of our minds, that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's what we do. God has done it all for us spiritually. Now we are the ones who bring it out. We are the ones who learn about it and live it. And that's the exciting thing, to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We're transformed. We're changed. Real change. Not some self-help book that any person can pick up off the shelf that has nothing to do with God or spirit. This is change according to what has been put inside of us spiritually, who we really are. Colossians chapter 1. Look at verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father who has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. God has made us meet. One translation could be adequate or sufficient. One translation, he's qualified us. He's made us good enough to be in this. Plenty good. That's what God has done. He put us in and made us good enough. Verse 20, talking about what Christ did, having made peace through the blood of his cross by him, or what God did in Christ, to reconcile all things to himself, unto himself. By him I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind, or at one time, our whole life till we believed in Christ, we were enemies of God and alienated from God, but by wicked works, yet now has he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable, or without blemish, and unreprovable or unblameable, free of accusation. That's what God has done for us in Christ. You're unimpeachable. You can't be plucked from his hand, the song says. And the word of God says. That's why it's true. This is some of what God has done. Some of what we are. Chapter 2, verse 9. Talking about... Oh, look at... Let's go up here. Verse 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. That's what we do. We walk in him. We learn about who we are in Christ. As ye have therefore received, walk in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. That's what Tom was talking about. Who are we in Christ? Look to the cross of Christ. Don't look to the things of this world, because nothing in this world is worth your life. Nothing in this world. Nothing. Verse 9, for in Christ dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him. You're filled full with him. You've got it all. Who is the head of all principality and power. We are complete. We've got everything that God ever needed to do in us. Ephesians 1:3. That we've been blessed with all spiritual blessings. We have it all. It's all there in Christ. We need to just learn about it and continue to walk in the greatness of what God worked in Christ and the cross, the completed work of Christ. Ephesians 1:23, we're not going to go there. It says he fills all in all. That's our God. He's everything. Never anything half done. Everything. All in all. Let's go to John chapter 15. Once you're to John 15, back up to John 14, 12. We haven't read this verse in a while, and it's on Sunday, so let's read it. This is what Jesus said. Just another one of the many things that have been done for us. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. These verses... What if that psalmist had, oh man. Of course, he didn't even know all that Jesus Christ would be and do. That we would be able to do the works that he did and greater works also. That's the truth of the Word of God. John 15, verse 1. I am the vine, Jesus said, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you're clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can you, except you abide in me. God wants us to be fruitful, and there are a great many ways that the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ bears fruit in his life. And God wants us to, but the only way we can bear spiritual fruit is to abide in the vine. Without him, we can do nothing. Verse 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Oh, you know, maybe you can have a job, go to college, those kind of things. But we're talking spiritual things. Anything that will last for eternity. Remember Corinthians, it says, take heed how you build. The only foundation you can build upon that's going to last is the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So if you want to do anything in this life that's going to last for eternity, that's who you got to build on. You know, we need to have our jobs, to go to school, what have you, those kind of things. But my job doesn't make me. Lord Jesus Christ made me. That's who I am, a son of God. Let's go to Romans chapter 6. Verse 20, little reminder. For when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit had you then in those things whereof you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end, everlasting life. You know, it's almost unbelievable that we could get to have fruit that's unto holiness. Only because God, what God did has nothing to do with us. We have no place to brag in this, no place to boast in what we can do. It's all what God did. Let's go to chapter 7, verse 4. Wherefore, my brethren, you're also become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. That we could bring forth fruit that would be good enough for God. Amazing. Galatians chapter 5. How could we not go to here? He's our Father. We're His children. And He wants us to be fruitful. Galatians 5. I went too far. 5 and then. Verse 19, we're not going to read this section, but there's the works of the flesh, all these ugly things. And then in verse 22, the contrast with that, the Word of God says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. There's no law that can make you do these things. There's no law that can stop you from doing these things. These are above the law. These are without the law. These are spiritual things that can grow in our lives as we become more like Christ. As we put off this world and put on Him. It's unbelievable. You begin to see a little family resemblance. How good God is, and Jesus was, and that we could have these same things evident in our lives. What a God to make us good enough to be able to do that, to put that in us. Look at Ephesians 4:15. But speaking or living the truth in love may grow up into Him in all things, who is the head, Christ. If we're going to bear fruit, we have to continue to grow up in Him. Our whole life, we continue to grow up in Him. And it's the same thing, at least as true in the church of the body as was true in the Old Testament. They'll still be fat and flourishing, even in old age. They'll still be growing and fruitful. We can continue to grow. Every day we should be seeing fruit in our lives and growing in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't stop. The God of all those things, comfort, love, mercy, patience, He's never going to run out. You're never going to run empty. We grow up in Him. Verse chapter 5. Verse 8. For you sometimes, or once upon a time, you know, before you got born again, you were darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as the children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit, or the fruit of the light, is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. What a life we get to live. In all goodness and righteousness and truth. Look at 4:32. It talks about the things we put off. And then in verse 32, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ has forgiven you. We have that ability. A person who isn't born of God's Spirit, they can't do what we can do. They can't have that tender heart. They can't have that forgiveness as God in Christ forgave us. We have that spiritual ability. And chapter 5, verse 1, this is so huge. Be ye therefore followers or imitators of God, that we would be allowed to even try to imitate God Almighty is mind-blowing. As dear children and walk in love, we have that love in us spiritually, and as we grow in Christ, as we put Him on, we live that love. As Christ also has loved us and has given Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. And then it talks about other things to put off, but we're not going to take the time to do that today. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians 1, verse 3. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Colossians 1, 3. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come unto you as it is in all the world, and brings forth fruit, and does also in you since the day you heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. It brings forth fruit and is growing. This word of God is not dead. The word of God is alive, and the Spirit in us is alive. These are words of God. These are words of life, and they do grow. They bring forth fruit in our lives. Verse 10, same chapter. That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. That's our life. Strengthened, fruitful. Let's go to James chapter 1. In that great parable of the sower that Tom referred to and we so frequently look at, talks about the cares of this life and the deceitfulness of riches that cause the Word of God to be unfruitful. It's the same Word of God that can be fruitful in one person and unfruitful in another, or fruitful in us today, or if we forget for a while, unfruitful. It's the same Word of God and can work in every situation. But we need to remember who we are. We need to look at the Lord Jesus Christ and what He did and not look at the things of this world. And certainly there are a lot of things we have to deal with in life, but we can't let them have the precedence over who we are in Christ and what we're to do. We can't let those pull us off the Word of God. Push us off the pressure, and certainly the deceitfulness of riches and how deceitful it is in our culture. Oh my gosh, they want to own you. It gets worse all the time. You know, you got to have your 20 gigawatt cell phone and you got to have this while some guy in Mexico is the richest guy in the world. Do you think he cares about you? Do you think the guy's playing football this afternoon making millions of bucks while people waste their time watching? Do you think they care about you? Do you think they identify with us? No, but Jesus Christ does. He's our identity, and he identifies with us. He's not ashamed to call us brethren. He cares about us. But the things in this world, those things, those deceitfulness of riches, and I'm not saying, you know, the Super Bowl's bad. I'm just saying we need to think. We need to consider, what are we doing with our time, and what are we doing between our ears and our hearts? James chapter 1, verse 21, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. The implanted word. It becomes ingrained in us, engrafted. You know how they graft a tree? When the graft apart in, they maybe take a root system from one tree and then graft another piece into that so that they can produce a particular kind of fruit. Well, the Word of God is engrafted in our lives, and what kind of fruit is it going to grow in us? The things we've been reading about. And it's able to save our souls. But be ye doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. He beholds himself and goes his way and straightway forgets what manner of man he was. That can happen to us any day, any time. And what are we supposed to be looking at? My face? No. Jesus Christ. What he did. That's who we're supposed to be looking at. And to continue in doing, living my life according to what he's done in me. Verse 25, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, who's that? The Lord Jesus Christ. And continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So many things that could be said. This is the day of the selfie. I can't believe it. People take pictures of themselves and like send them out or post them. Is Christian? Where to look at him, not at ourselves. We look at the Lord Jesus Christ. What does it say? He made himself of no reputation. Literally, he emptied himself. He had no self. We're not to be into ourselves. We're into being into God and his Son and into the church. Paul, next to Jesus Christ, I look at Paul and think, who else ever, you know, rose that high in their believing of the Word of God? Maybe other people, I don't know, but I admire his life. What did he say? He wanted to be found in him, to be found in Christ. Not that he was lost. He wanted to see who, you know, to totally live everything that he was in Christ. We've been found, but we can get lost again in our own hearts and minds. Thank God we can't be lost for eternity. We've got that wrapped up because, again, of God's work. But to be found in him, that's where our real life is, in him. Let's go to Galatians chapter 6, wrapping it up. And you're everything you need to be. There was a time in my life I got wrapped up in another gospel. There is no other gospel, because gospel means good news. But if you think that in order to be trusting God or look like you're trusting God, you need to be a great leader, a business person, successful at some worldly thing, that's baloney. You're complete. You're filled full. You're everything you need to be. So we enjoy that. We enjoy being who we are and glorifying God as that. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 14. Paul writing here, but God forbid that I should glory or boast save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. That's what we have. Touch not, taste not, handle not, all which are, they're all going to perish. All those worldly things, but not the things of our Lord Jesus Christ. The world is not worthy of us because of what God made us in Christ. We don't sell out to the world. There's an expression, everybody's got a price. Jesus Christ never had a price. I don't think Paul had a price on it. No, there's no price. All the whole universe isn't worth what God made you in Christ. Sherry was playing during the abundant sharing that when I survey the wondrous cross, what a song, you know. My richest gain, I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride. And that last verse, were the whole realm of nature mine, that were a treasure far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. The whole universe isn't worth us because of what God put in us, what He made us. Can we close in Ephesians chapter 3? Verse 20. Now unto him, God Almighty, He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Unto Him be glory. That's what our lives are to be a glory to Him and honor to Him. Unto Him, God, our Father, be glory in the church by Christ Jesus, throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. I love you. God bless you.
Beautiful. Man, oh man, oh man. You know, a lot of places you go today are easier yet. Flip on the TV and they'll tell you all about the fruit that you have in Christ. But you know what they'll say? It having Christ erupts in your life, lots of money, winning the Super Bowl, getting the gold medal, about all the benefits are in the material realm. Goodness gracious. Well, we know our heavenly, if we're sons and daughters, our Father takes care of us, right? But what more do I need than what He taught today? I want to talk about fruit. What more do I need than what He told us about today? I'm glad He defined the fruit. A lot of times they talk about fruit, 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 and then you find out what they mean is some kind of worldly achievement. Oh, that's behind me, you know. And as I've said before, if any of you are Christians and you are of a mindset of, well, when's Christ going to do something for me? I would suggest that you make an appointment with Brian Williams or Katie Wolf, and they'll straighten you out. They're eye doctors, so they. If you're a Christian, goodness gracious, when's Christ going to do something for me? I hope you listen to today's teaching. You know, I did want to mention, if you're not a Christian, in no way are we talking down to you, because we're well aware that these things that God's Word talks about are ours, only by God's grace and mercy and by the gracious work of Jesus Christ, and they can be yours as well. So, if you aren't sure if they are, or if you're sure that they're not, that can change. Just speak to somebody today. They could talk to you about becoming one who can probably say that they're a son or daughter of God. And when we do that, we can stand up, right? Because not only, you know, we're not Christians in this world just to benefit. Our benefits are done in Christ and they extend eternally. But we are in this world for a reason, to make money and win the Super Bowl. No. We've got a job to do. We're here to take His place. And that's what this song's about. This is one of those we took out of the songbook for years, and then one day I thought, why in the world did we ever take this one out of the songbook? What a great song. So it's back where it belongs in our songbook. We're going to stand up and sing it today to close out number 105. Stand up for Jesus, you soldiers of the cross. Thanks for coming today. God bless. Oops.